This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Which Cowboys player has upped his stock most throughout training camp? 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved in the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Also, you can hit us up on the Twitch, on the YouTube. And Corey, I forgot to mention my favorite thing from Gridiron. Do you know the
You should do that now then.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said that. Do you know what Bill Belichick's nickname used to be?
Baby Bill.
Bad News Billy.
Little Baby Billy.
Not Baby Billy's T-Billy. Bible bonkers.
We cut T-Billy.
Bill Belichick said, my first year in the league in Baltimore, I was the guy. I was the jerk. I was Bad News Billy. If somebody saw me coming around anywhere, nobody wanted to see me because they knew I was coming to get them. It was bad news. It was always bad news.
Bad News
Billy. Bad News Billy.
Mike, in baseball, are the red tags a real thing, or do they?
I asked my dad that when watched Major League for the first time, and he's like, no. And what they do is they just have, it could be an assistant coach, it could be the clubhouse guy. They just say, hey, Skip wants to see you.
Gotcha. And do you know?
Okay. Like, it's cut time. Today, you know. The ones that you might not know is,
like in the middle of the
season. For tomorrow, Jack Leiter's going to come back up and pitch. That means somebody's getting sent down.
Sure.
So, you know, if you're the borderline pitcher on the team, you're like, please, Mike Maddox or whoever, don't come see me and tell me to go to Skip's office. Because, you know, if that's the case, they're not telling you, hey, you're doing great. You get to stay on the team today. They're usually saying, you did great, but we're sending you down to the minors. And then you're like, I must have not done too great.
You get to stay on the team today. All right. So when it comes to the Cowboys, obviously we've been talking about cuts all day, from Lawson to Ball to Hendershot to get down to the 53-man limit by 3 o'clock. Are there players, whether it's in the preseason games, throughout training camp, watching the practices, that you think have upped their stock the most during this training camp run?
For me, it's Flonoy. Ryan Flonoy.
It's tough because the R is not part of it.
It was Flournoy before, and then it got changed on me. So Ryan Flournoy has upped his stock the most because I had some expectation going into camp of this guy's fighting for a job. And then I started watching, and I was like, all right, I'm expecting a little more. And it took him a minute, it took him a beat to get his feet under him in the NFL, to understand what camp was about, and just to go out there and catch. And that was where I was like, okay, now he's starting to get it. And you started to see it, and he became the target to check out in games for Trey Lance. So I think he upped his for sure. The second one is Buddy Johnson.
Oh.
We had no expectation for Buddy Johnson, Kevin.
That's true.
And now he's going to make this team and be a probably contributing linebacker and a contributing special teamer for you. So that's huge up stock because I had nothing for that guy.
Okay. I like those answers. Mike, would you like me to go next, or you want to join?
Well, I have two. He wasn't there.
Still, he just upped his stock. He got paid bigger.
That is true.
That's a good point.
Can I throw two out that I don't think people, because I'm not talking about players 45 through 53. Is it BB and Tyler Guyton, as both of those guys during training camp proved that they should be the starters?
Can I say that, and I don't know if this will work, but I understand what you're saying. Can I throw Brock Hoffman in there? Because, and I realize like one's going to start and one's not, but it feels like it's turned into a, hey, can Cooper Beebe take the job, to, holy crap, I think I actually feel pretty good about both of these guys. I'm not sure who's going to win the job. So I'm with you on that. I would kind of want to throw Hoffman in that category as well.
Okay. I just, going into it, I'm basing this off of two people that watch Oklahoma football too much.
Corey and Carter.
Yep. And Corey. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are like, no, he's talented, but he might not be ready.
Yeah, I thought
start. And obviously, we haven't seen him play in a real game, but he did so well in practice and his some of the reps, a few reps. He didn't get tons of reps in preseason, but that everybody feels very confident that he can be an average to hopefully above average tackle in the NFL his rookie year.
Yeah, I think he'll be above average, yeah, honestly. Me too. And mostly because his pass rep or his pass protection reps were really good in preseason games and in practice too. The other side of it was I didn't feel like I saw enough of the run reps that really made me go, okay, that's a monster over there. But he's next to Tyler Smith. And I feel like you got the monster in Tyler Smith right there. But yeah, his pass protection reps made me feel very comfortable. But again, we looked at the schedule in front of him early in the season. He's got a lot of tests very early in the season. You think those defensive coordinators aren't going to recognize that and line their guy up against him? That would be foolish not to go after him and see what he can do. But yeah, we thought he was raw.
Yeah,
he's turned out to be very, you know, he's a quick learn and he's very physical.
I wouldn't have guessed this at all, but it makes sense from the 817. It's Brandon Aubrey. I mean, good
because of
night.
The 70 something yard
66.
Okay.
Yeah,
just round.
It would have been
up.
Good from yeah. 72. That's right. Is you just get to midfield and you're like, oh, let's give it a shot. That's why I want us to kick field goals instead of throw Hail Marys if the game is within
he
that
does
distance.
Too. Brandon yes. Aubrey absolutely wants that opportunity. Justin Tucker always wanted that opportunity,
true,
right? He was always
true.
Like, get me out there, coach.
From the 214, my answer is Dak. His value is up. I was going to throw out Deuce Vaughn.
Hold on. Before we talk about Vaughn,
you think it's just like the actual cost of his contract?
I wanted to ask about Dak's value sure. being up. Is it because you saw what Trey Lance was and you were like, okay, he is not going to be a viable replacement for Dak? So
anytime soon, yeah.
And, you know, Kevin, we talked to national people. They all say Dak is a really good quarterback in the NFL. Across the NFL,
yes,
he's really good. The national people do. We probably pick at the warts a lot more than they do, but
sure.
they have a lot of respect for him. So did his stock go up for some reason, or was it because you saw Trey Lance wasn't good enough, or you just like, you know what, he is a good quarterback?
So I think there's some other people as well that think that CeeDee Lamb signing means Dak's value went up because they're like, you didn't pay a wide receiver the second most to not have a top-notch quarterback, you know?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Because look at Minnesota.
True.
Minnesota went out and paid Justin Jefferson and said, we're moving on from Kirk Cousins.
Would you argue that they at least invested a first-round
yeah.
pick?
Yes, they did. They
clearly
absolutely did. And
out.
They got Sam Darnold, which every great team does.
No.
<Nope.
laughs> No.
Yeah, like, we can't wait to get this Sam Darnold guy out there.
All right, so you don't necessarily think that CeeDee Lamb signing means...
And they did say because of Trey Lance, by the
oh,
way.
Okay.
They said yes, because Trey Lance didn't look like he could take over, Dak stock back up. So, yeah. No, I don't think it changes anything. I think Dak's a good quarterback. I think he's better with CeeDee Lamb. I think that combination of those two is very good.
Are you, you said Deuce Vaughn. Are we 100% yes. sure he's making the team?
Deuce, I would be
I feel very confident.
Pretty surprised okay. if he didn't make the team now. Especially these last two games, what he's shown, I think that has given them the ability to move on from whether you think it's Royce Freeman or Malik Davis or whichever direction it's going to go. I think Deuce Vaughn is on this
Mike,
team.
It's like you have three right-handed pitchers that all throw fastballs and splitters. And you're like, okay, there we go. We're good. Well, don't you want a lefty that maybe has something else? You want to...
I'd consider Deuce, yeah, like your submarine thrower.
Yeah, exactly. He would be, I know it's a joke, but you're
would
dead
you like
on.
To see Deuce Vaughn and Bryce Young in the same backfield?
Oh, my God. Nobody... They'd be like, they're not playing a quarterback or a running back on this play.
It's just an offensive line. Where did he snap it to?
Yeah. Who else is super short in this league?
Mike, I would love for you... to put together your all-time short NFL team, like position by position. You're like, yep, all my offensive linemen are 5'8", 5'9", Bryce Young's
well, that
out
kid
there.
That Alec talked about
yes,
earlier.
That's perfect. Right. He'll be on the defensive line. I was going to throw out Awesome Richards and Jalen Brooks because you brought up Buddy Johnson. That's a great one. I know there was buzz about Willie Harvey, but I guess you maybe won't argue that anymore. But,
well, I mean, hey, look, he went from an undrafted free agent, a guy from the UFL, right?
True.
To being back on to there the and having some opportunities to get eyeballs on him. So that was a great opportunity
that, yeah,
for him.
And that probably will help further his career.
And you have that story for the rest of your life, if nothing else. Like, I know maybe it doesn't come out to be anything financially nominal, sure. But you're looking back, and my friend growing up, his dad tried out for the Cowboys. Now, did his eyeball get poked out? Yes, it happened. But
what?
He had the opportunity to try out for the Cowboys.
Does he only have one eye?
No, he got it. The guy jammed his finger into the eye socket and then pulled back, and his eyeball popped out.
Aye.
So he's sitting on the field,
gosh,
holding his eyeball in his hand, looking at himself with his eyeball, and then they put it back in.
Merry Christmas.
I hope you're enjoying your lunch right now.
What?
The expressway coming up here in 15 minutes.
Holy cow, that is freaking terrifying.
Thanks, man.
My apologies, I forgot about that story. But yeah, but again, has a story to tell for the rest of his life, because he tried out for the Cowboys.
I think I'd rather just have my eyeball never pop out of my head. In that instance.
Hey, I didn't notice. You know, I was a kid, and I didn't notice that his eye didn't look any different to me.
Man, that is kind of a badass story. Like, if you're about to get in a fight with somebody, do you think you go like, Bob Lilly, pop my eyeball out of my socket?
Or
I ain't afraid
of you.
Maybe you
just pop it out yourself, and you go, now what?
Oh, my goodness.
They run away because they're terrified.
Okay, well, now because I'm terrified of your story, I'm going to throw out two other ones. And we were talking about the rookies earlier. I actually am feeling pretty optimistic across this rookie class.
This is a good draft.
If you throw out Leafau and Carsons, and I realize you might be like, well, we haven't actually seen them.
And Nealon.
Yes, exactly, playing a game yet. But depending on where your expectations are, I feel like most folks feel good about Guyton, yes?
Yes.
Right now. And they feel good about Nealon.
Yes.
And they feel good about Beebe.
Feel very good.
And they feel good about Leafau.
Yes.
And they feel good about Carsons. And they feel...
Well, he did better.
Yes.
I mean, the way he performed, and they're going to need him.
And they feel good about Flonoy.
Yeah.
Like, we'll see once the season actually starts whether any of that confidence was warranted or not. But at this time last year, you're like, oh, crap. Overshone's out. Doesn't look good early about Mozzie, and Schoonmaker is getting hurt.
Yeah, Broadus he said it multiple times. We said it multiple times on this show. You put a lot of pressure on your scouting department to deliver this year by not going out and replenishing or getting better with free agents. You said, all right, you guys, we pay you for a reason. Go find us some good ones for the future. They did, and so far, after camp, you feel very confident that they did their job the correct way this year. And will they have to do it again next year, and then the next year? I don't know. That feels like there's always pressure on Will McClay to do it.
I mean, and you know that the team supports it because they're like, hey, then we can just sign all of our own.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah, don't worry
about it. We got bird rights.
Not bird rights, but the rest of it, I'm with you on that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Cowboys have a poor track record with wide receiver extensions. Will CD be different? Plus, Mike likes it right here on The Fan.
Second and six. Prescott, a deep strike to Lamb over the middle. Makes a cut inside. Gets to the pylon. And it's a touchdown for CD Lamb. 49 yards on a catch and run.
Cammon, KNC Masterpiece, right? I almost said something Mike was in the midst of saying right here on 105.3 The Fan, KNC Masterpiece. Let's talk about CD Lamb, 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved in the conversation on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line, or you can do it on the Twitch or the YouTube. Sorry about our internet speed. The Cowboys have a poor track record with wide receiver extensions. Will CD Lamb be different? But also, I got a couple of quick NFL notes for you. Bailey Zappe was waived by the Patriots. So he's out there in the mix if you have any interest, which maybe not for this team, but just in general. And then also, Will Levis was the backup to Sean Clifford at Penn State until he transferred to Kentucky. And then Malik Willis was Will Levis's backup on the Titans until he got traded to the Packers. The Packers just cut Sean Clifford to keep Malik Willis. Okay. So if you're Clifford, you're like, damn, I was ahead of him.
I had a chance.
Now I'm out. Also, Desmond Ridder got cut by the Cardinals. So we can go back in time a little bit if y'all want to examine some of the catastrophic wide receiver contract extensions that the Dallas Cowboys have given out.
Yeah, let's go back in time.
All right. Do you want to start? Who do you want to start with?
Ooh.
Michael Irvin's neck?
Not him. T.O.
I know, Dez ended up not working out, but I figured that might be, Roy Williams. Well, you only traded two first.
Yeah.
Joey Galloway.
Big deal.
Wait, you only traded two first there, right?
Yeah.
So let's start with most recent and go back.
Okay.
Dez Bryant got an extension, 5 years, $70 million.
Hey, can I ask you a question about that? When was that extension signed?
After 2015? In 2015?
The week before the season started? Or
whatever the last deadline was, it was like he ran up to the office to sign it. It was a big deal. I mean, it was a significant, huge deal that, oh my gosh, is he going to get right down to the last second? And then he magically signed.
And it was a gigantic mistake. Dez Bryant had three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. It felt like he was in his prime. He broke a bone in his foot in 2015, played only 9 games, and his health was an issue from there. After the 2017 season, he was cut. Ooh. So he had three straight 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Three seasons later, he was gone. Go back to Terrell Owens.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. Let's talk about Dez real quick. I heard Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton talking about this morning. And it was the question of, do you sign a guy for what he's done,
yes,
what he's going to do, or what he's done and the projection of it? And Dez had done everything he needed to, right? He was a star receiver at that point.
Yeah.
You didn't expect his body was just going to fall apart on him like that. Is that?
I was always more concerned about the mental aspect of him phoning it in once he got paid. And I know the injuries were a problem, but it does kind of feel like he phoned it in as well once he got paid. So that was always my concern with that. Never pay for what they've already done. Don't ever pay for that. If you're doing that in sports, you're making a bad decision. But if you're projecting what they're going to do, then that's where your contract needs to be. And I understand, like, rookie wage scales in most sports are really, really low. And so they're probably thinking, well, I want to make back the money that I didn't get on my rookie deal. Well, if you're a team, that's a foolish endeavor.
So what you're saying is the first 2 years of your contract float through. Year three.
Enough to stay on the team.
Show it.
Yeah.
And then hold out and be like, all right, now it's time for an extension.
I mean, there's an odd logic to that that actually makes a lot of sense to me, because if you're great for 3 years and then you want to redo it, you're probably like, no, but I was great for these 3 years. And the team's like, yeah, I appreciate that, but I'm not paying for those 3 years retroactively.
And you're like, well, you get 3 years. That's it.
For Terrell Owens in 2008, he signed a 4-year, $34 million deal with $27 million in the first 3 years. Now, he was a productive player leading into this, but after this contract, he was released when the season was over. And essentially,
after that contract,
his career went a big bag of nowhere after that. And then think about how tough this time frame was, because a few months after extending Owens' contract, the Cowboys gave the Lions 4 draft picks, a first, a third, a sixth, and a seventh for Roy Williams. He signed a 5-year, $45 million extension. He was also 26. In his 40 games with the Cowboys, he caught 94 passes for 1,324 yards and 13 touchdowns. That's a heck of a season. But that was what he did with the Cowboys after they gave up all those draft picks for him and gave him an extension. And several of these players were young. So I guess my question is twofold. Will CeeDee Lamb be different? And if so, why do you think it'll be different versus we can just say these three players or whoever else you want?
Corey, I'll be optimistic here and say yes. I don't think, and I get the love for Dez Bryant. He has a lot of people, Alec might be one of them, that's their favorite Cowboy ever. Am I correct about that, Alec?
He says no.
Oh,
no.
Sorry. I see.
Who's your favorite Cowboy ever, Alec?
Probably Romo.
All right, there you go.
Okay, even worse.
Wow.
There's a lot of Dez fans.
Yeah.
I get it. Dez was never as good as CeeDee Lamb. Now, he was close. I'm not saying he wasn't, but you guys are talking about fantasy football earlier and about CeeDee Lamb being a top three pick. Dez was, I mean, help me if I'm wrong here, at best maybe end of the first round in fantasy draft.
Yeah, like
if you have 12 teams, like somewhere between 8 and 15 is kind of like at his peak prime. Like I think CeeDee Lamb is just, he's another level, he's another tier, another level above these guys we're talking about. Where T.O. was at in his career.
Yes.
Roy Williams was kind of more of a hope. You know, does that make sense?
Like,
we hope he comes over here and is great or better than he was in Detroit.
They thought he was the final piece.
They really did.
Whenever they made that move to get him, they were
so
we're going to have something nobody else has with this receiver group.
I'm optimistic that CeeDee Lamb, this contract over 4 years, he will be a premium top five receiver in the game all of the years.
Okay.
Somebody did ask about Amari Cooper, and I don't know if you consider that a good
I'll
or bad contract.
Look into that one a little bit more.
Because he was in the top five of receivers being paid. I mean, if not top two receivers being paid at that time. And ultimately, it did not turn out the way you expected and or wanted it to. So I can't tell if that was good or
but
bad.
But it feels like that one was somewhat better.
Okay.
Than the rest.
I would have to dive a little more into
it. He lasted two seasons into his 5 for $100 deal?
Yeah.
Okay, and so that's another thing. I don't think Amari Cooper was ever as good or is as good as CeeDee Lamb. So you brought up reasons for these players, and I like that. So T.O., by the time we talked about the other contract extension with the Cowboys, he was 35. So you can argue age on that. For Roy Williams, he just was more of a projection and a hope, and we did that poorly. And then for Dez Bryant, he was a damn good player, but maybe not as good as CeeDee. So I think these are all valid reasons for why this contract extension for CeeDee Lamb will be different, because it's 4 years, $136 million, $34 million guaranteed, $34 million per year, $100 million guaranteed, $38 million signing bonus. So now I want to move to that. So you believe this will be different. Will this go down as a good contract signing?
Yes. The only thing that would concern me, and I think they're going to match up Dak with this contract, not today or tomorrow, but I think he's going to get a 3-year deal.
I gotcha.
So it matches up a little bit. I guess a CeeDee would have one more year, but as long as Dak is his quarterback, I think he's going to have great numbers. Now, it's an unknown if Dak leaves or if the Cowboys decide to move on and you go with a first-round rookie quarterback in 2025, sometimes your numbers could go down significantly.
Sure.
And CeeDee's running the same route, getting open at the same rate, all of these things, but the quarterback doesn't have the ability to get him the ball as much as Dak.
You know what's interesting, Mike? You said when he was drafted, you believed he was a future Hall of Fame Cowboy.
Yeah.
And you felt like he was going to break all the records in the Cowboys receiving record book. There's still a possibility. Somebody was just texting
off
me
to a good start.
Question.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like Mike's he got that one right. Give Wyatt Langford some time is what I'm saying here. You know, give him some time. You were really hyped about him.
I know.
You know, so
he's worrying me.
Give him some time. All right. But and that's with CeeDee Lamb. You're starting to see those numbers look very good. So are you saying that the Cowboys are bad at recognizing it or just bad luck?
So I don't usually, I'm not saying it never happens, but I think that other reasons are more likely than luck.
Gallup.
See, the only
does that count?
I didn't put Gallup in the list just because he wasn't marquee.
Yeah,
the rest
like
of them
good
were
number two.
Yeah, but he wasn't big time or at the top of it like the rest of them were.
Does this matter at all? Dez and T.O. had issues. CeeDee doesn't seem to have those issues. And I'm not talking about football issues. I'm talking about being a teammate issue. And there's a lot of guys that did like T.O. A lot of guys who didn't like T.O. And that was the issue in there. Dez at times, time was not a word that he understood.
Yeah.
I don't know what time anything starts at. I show up when I show up. I'm ready to practice and play hard when I do, but I don't know about this thing you guys call 10 a.m. I don't know what that means,
That's
you know?
True.
So I just wonder if for me being optimistic is you're not going to have to worry about CD Lamb and possibly, maybe I'm wrong about this. I don't know him at all. His lifestyle, or at times you're like, hey, do you even want to, you know, like what's the deal? You know, like, cause I don't think Tony Romo and Jason Witten are drawing up plays in the sandbox or whatever.
Right. I have to admit that is also not a concern I have about CeeDee Lamb. I've seen some people say that text in, and at least one in the Twitch say that they were worried that he was mentally fragile. I have CeeDee.
Oh man, I don't think so.
I haven't gotten that sense.
Could that be based off, I'm not saying it's
the
true.
Playoff
could that
game?
Be, yeah. The first series or second series, they throw the ball behind him on a slant.
And then he's off.
And he was furious.
Yeah. And again, they never addressed that specifically that I've heard. And we didn't really know exactly what they were disputing in there other than was the ball behind me. Like, that could be it. I think there was a time, Kevin, early in his career where he didn't just take over the room. He had Amari Cooper there. And so he didn't take over and be the alpha receiver in the room, and they were the Cowboys actually questioned that and asked him, hey, we need more of this out of you. So once he did it last year, you know, he got his opportunity, he took advantage of it, he did it last year. So I think he's done everything in my mind to prove that he deserved what he's gotten, as far as the way you're going to go and produce for the Cowboys. Now, can he be a key factor in getting the Cowboys over the top and getting somewhere else? He has to be.
I think I'm in the place right now where he's a key factor to keep this thing going.
Dude, and you remember on draft day when
how
he's on his phone
we
and that girl goes and grabs his phone, he bot. Nuh-uh. I mean, that's mental strength right there. Give me that phone real quick. What do you think you're doing? Trying to talk on my phone right now.
He's multitasking.
Yeah.
And they're married now?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I have no idea. By the way, CeeDee Lamb, perfect time for him to cash in. 135 catches, 1,749 yards, 12 touchdowns, and Corey, your favorite, a 74% catch rate. All career high numbers. So clearly happened at the right time. But you also concern me because you're like, watch out for that contract year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think CeeDee Lamb recognizes he's going to get good money now. I think he's going to continue being a professional.
Okay. Good.
But watching him in college, and then watching him where he is now, he's done everything I thought he would do.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. If you can get cut number 5 ready, I was hoping that we would have time for this.
Grimes just getting after it. Blocked by Grimes. What a great defensive play that started out on the perimeter.
Now, obviously, basketball has fallen to the wayside for a while, but Dallas Morning News was running a series of questions, and one of them that intrigued me, and I wanted to pitch it out to you guys and get your thoughts, are the acquisitions of Najee Marshall and Quentin Grimes for the Mavericks just as impactful as picking up Klay Thompson?
Okay. This is interesting you say this. I had no clue this was going to be a topic today.
You know, I did send the run sheet to you.
I didn't see the Grimes thing.
Okay.
It was in the middle of the run sheet.
I was talking to somebody who, I'll say, covers the Mavs. And
sources.
Their thought is that as this season progresses, Najee Marshall is going to be one of the 5 best players on this team and will be at the end of the game. So the final five, he thinks, will have Najee Marshall over Klay Thompson. So when you're asking this question,
if Najee's
the one out there with Luka, Kyrie, PJ, and Derek Lively, then yeah. But now I know you played a Quentin Grimes highlight, and I do think he'll be part of the 8-man rotation, and I know it'll be bigger than 8, but I do think when you name the 8 guys, I do think after you get past the 3 Hall of Famers, your 2 centers, PJ Washington, I do think the next 2 major guys, correct me if I'm wrong, will be Najee Marshall and Quentin Grimes. And you'll play Kleba. I'm not saying Kleba won't play. And you'll have another guy in the rotation, whether it's Spencer Dinwiddie, whether it's Jaden Hardy. I totally get it. And it's a long season. But yeah, I think this is a great question because I think I don't want to go this far yet, but there's enough people around Mavericks world that believe Najee Marshall is going to have a major impact on this team.
That to be more of a factor than Clay is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because we did see that Najee hits open three-pointers pretty consistently. He has a, I think his high, his number was in the high 40s somewhere.
So, and by the way, just if you want to compare season over season, him versus Derrick Jones, 38.7% for Najee versus 34.3% for Derrick Jones. So that is a noticeable difference.
Yeah. And again, hitting the wide open three-pointer, yeah, the no, non-pressure three is a big deal too, because Luka's going to create those opportunities for you. If you have that many guys on the court that can score, it'll open up for the dude that nobody cares about because he's not one of their main guys. So that could be a big factor. I don't know, because of his defensive toughness too, I think that's a big deal.
That's their thought process, yeah, is that, yes, both of them will play a lot, but at the end of the game, who is going to guard Anthony Edwards?
Yeah.
Who is going to guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Who is going to guard these guys? And
it was Derek Lively.
I think the Mavericks believe, well, in picking, you know, role, yeah, it could be, but I think the Mavericks believe the guy to guard those guys is Najee Marshall.
I like it.
And that's why I like to the idea of comboing them up, because I look at Quentin Grimes as a, I'm not saying at the very end of the game, but he's another defensive threat, and he's another guy who shot 38% from three last year. So you feel like even if it's 4 to 5%, you've upgraded some of your three-point shooters and still, yeah, kept the defensive part that you want.
I feel like you're very flexible defensively, more so than you've been in a while. And you were pretty flexible last year, but I feel like you're an even better flexible team considering the two almost liabilities. They're tryhards, but they're kind of liabilities defensively, and Luka and Kyrie when they're on the court.
The Mavericks are loaded. I'm not saying they're the best team in the NBA. It goes to Boston. They just destroyed our Mavs. The Mavs, though, did make it to the NBA Finals,
yeah,
and they improved in the offseason. I struggle if anybody said, no, they got worse because they lost, let's say, Jones. I'd be, yeah, like, dude, you got Klay Thompson.
That's why I wanted to do Najee some of those Marshall comparisons.
You got Quentin Grimes. Grimes is like picking up, you know, going to another one is Jordan Montgomery. If Jordan Montgomery does come back to the Rangers next year, I'm all excited about that. I've seen what he's done. Grimes had a bad year this year. You're, yeah, picking up a dude who has shown a lot of ability in the NBA, who then for some reason dropped off. Now, maybe he's totally dropped off, and you have the depth that if he does, you never have to play him a second. But what if he gets back to the guy of 2022-2023?
Yeah.
You just got yourself a really nice piece that a lot of teams give those guys $15 to $20 million a year.
I'm intrigued, and that's why I wanted to bring this topic up. By the way, it's in the Dallas Morning News, an interesting read if you want to check that out.
You're an interesting read.
Thank you. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and right now, time for some Mike Likes It.
Okay, well, it looks like old Kid Cowboy on YouTube right now is having political discussions.
Oh, great. That always brings people together.
Yeah, he's talking about colors of states.
Can I ask a serious question? And we don't need to get into the weeds at all on this if you don't want to.
Who you're voting for?
No, no. How many people have ever changed their mind in the midst of one of these political, I'm going to say arguments as opposed to discussions? Has anyone ever been like, you know what? You're right. I'm voting your side.
I voted for Obama because the Mavericks started off 0-4 and I wanted to be part of the winning side.
What are your thoughts on that?
The Mavericks started off the 07-08 season.
That was not the year of the Obama election.
What year was it?
That would have been the 08-09 season.
They got off to a bad start, and I'm like, I want to be part of a winner. And I already knew who was going to win, so I figured out, let me vote for the winner.
All right.
I did.
No, I 100% I believe you.
So there. So I changed my mind when I went into
okay,
the booth.
But not, like, okay, because of
Mavs
the
Mavs lost last night. I'm tired of being part of the losing side.
Oh, yeah. The Mavericks leading into the election, I believe they were 2-3.
Yeah, see?
Or no, wait. 2-4, and yeah, they had a game that night.
Was that a bit that you were doing, or was it just like a mental, like, this is how I've decided?
It's got to be that second one, right?
Everybody knew Obama was winning.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I don't know if that totally fits in the... I just want to know when people argue about politics, how often somebody is like, you're right. I can see.
Yeah, I always feel like when you ask more questions in political discussions, you get a better conversation than everybody coming to the table going, let me tell you why each side's the stupidest.
Look, I'm a high educated voter. I like the Colin Allred commercial, so I'm probably voting for him.
Okay. Well, in your face, some of people's perceptions of Mike.
Yeah. He seems like a good guy. So, okay.
That's the purpose of these commercials.
Mike likes it. I dropped DirecTV.
Oh, my gosh.
So I know you guys talked about it a little bit yesterday, but I took the step. So the Mavericks are gone from DirecTV. We've known for a little bit now that the Stars are gone from DirecTV.
What I said yesterday, Mike, not to put you on the spot, if I had to bet, I think it was overwhelmingly likely that the Rangers will leave as well.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it. I don't know. I have no clue. But it seems like it. But I don't need I have the MLB package.
Sure.
So I'm like, I don't need DirecTV anymore. I called them up Friday night after I got done with the pregame show for the Rangers, and I have to sit there and watch the game and then get ready for a postgame show. And I'm like, well, let me drop DirecTV. And you know, they ask you like, hey, can we ask why are you leaving us? I'm like, well, because I only had you guys because you guys have Bally Sports, and that's where the Stars, Mavericks, and Rangers play. And it looks like you guys aren't going to have Bally's isn't going to have those anymore. We know two of them are factually correct. I don't know anything about the Rangers, but it just doesn't feel like
you sure.
You know? So I'm like, I don't need this anymore. And if you know what, if the Rangers go back to Bally's, I guess I'll get DirecTV in April.
Yeah.
You know,
and then get a sweet discount again.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I don't know. Has anybody been that extreme? I see YouTube up here on this computer. Has anybody just had DirecTV? I think if you're a Rangers, Mavs, Stars fan, you had to have it. I get people are like, I'm not watching. And in 1987, people don't realize this. 1987, I had to go to my grandparents' house to watch the Mavericks in one of the games. Alex, this will freak you out here. The playoff games at times were pay-per-view.
Yes.
You didn't get to... The Sonics versus the Mavericks was just not on TNT or CBS. It was literally, this is a night game in Seattle. It's not on the major networks. There were only, I don't know, 25, 30 channels in 1987. Like, if you want to watch this, you can pay $6 or $9, whatever it was back then, to HSE or your cable provider, and you'll be allowed to watch the Mavericks playoff game. So it is weird when people yell and like, I can't believe I have to pay. Well, yeah, we've kind of always had to pay at times to watch your local team play, besides the Cowboys, because they're on the national provider. But I'm like, it was weird when people were like, I'm not doing it. And I get it. DirecTV for me, guys, was $113 after all the, you know, add-on stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to see how long I can go without television.
Oh, okay.
Now, I obviously you have the app, the YouTube, and we have all kinds of crap, right? Like everybody does. So
you're still going to do all that.
Yeah, well, okay. Because my family likes watching certain things on those apps.
Gotcha.
But I want to see how long I can go without having television.
I think that's a great.
And save like $113.
Yeah.
And then we'll see, like, do I go to YouTube? Do I go to Hulu? Do I figure out how to Jimmy Jacket and, you know, get it for free.
There are a lot of suggestions about that. I, of course, would never recommend anyone breaking the law, but you're right. I have DirecTV still.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons we stayed with
it. I'm actually currently looking at YouTube TV plans because I have Fubo, but it's slightly higher than YouTube TV for me with the Red Zone package. I had Red Zone. I didn't have the Sunday ticket or whatever it was. But I had Red Zone, and that was good enough for me, and I could see most of the games. So I'm really just looking at, I do wonder, too, how will we be looking at, well, for football season, I'll have this. for baseball, hockey, and basketball season, I'll have this. And you just might, keep making those switches back and forth.
I could see that.
All right. So now that's over.
Okay.
I feel like I've asked you guys this question before, but it can change every year. I get you guys are diehard Cowboy fans, and there's nothing the Jones family can do to you guys to get you to stop watching stop loving them.
And have I told you why that is? Like, I don't know if
your family situation. Yeah,
exactly. Just because, like, I watched the Cowboys with my mom. That's true too. That's very fair. I watched the Cowboys with my mom. And now I pass that down to watching it with Brandon and hopefully Noah. And so, like, that's a part of our life and family structure. And so even when I get mad at the Jones family, which is plenty, I'm like, this is still part of our family.
Your mom hated the Mavericks?
She did not hate the Mavericks. She loves all. I love the Mavericks too.
Well, how come you didn't pass that down to your son?
Okay, we watch all the sports together. You just specifically asked about the Cowboys.
I know, but you made him a Bulls fan. He's a Bulls fan.
Well, that is because of our Chicago roots. I couldn't stop it.
So here's my question for you guys, and I didn't run this by you previously, so you're just going to have to work off the top of your head here.
Deal with it.
I get you guys are Cowboy fans, but if you had to follow one other team this year and watch all of their games and kind of follow their transactions and what's going on and all that stuff, what would be the other NFL team you'd really want to follow to see how they do in 2024?
Well, I mean, it would definitely be the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, by the way, Kadarius Toney,
he got cut too, right?
And I believe I just saw another Chief was cut receiver. Give me a second, Kevin.
Okay.
Justin Ross.
Okay.
They're releasing him as well. But I think it would be the Chiefs because they're the team at the top, and they have entertaining options when it comes to Mahomes, Kelce, and more.
I'm glad that you said that because I was hoping I could steal your favorite team. I would pick the Detroit Lions because they have never won jack-ass in the Super Bowl era. I know they used to be good a really long time ago.
So it'd be like the Rangers?
Yes. Can you imagine if you'd never watched Rangers baseball and jumped in last year? You'd be like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And that city is desperate for success. Obviously, Kansas City still wants to win, make history with the Super Bowl three-peat, but Detroit has never won or even been to a Super Bowl. It feels like they're a very good team that could be on the cusp, and they might be fun. That feels like a fun ride to jump in on.
And all the offensive linemen wipe the front of their jerseys every time they come into the game. It's pretty awesome.
It's me.
Secret.
I'm the one.
By the way, Kilton Collins, he's talking about his father. He could never leave the Cowboys. No, I get it. I'm not telling you to leave the Cowboys. I'm just saying, if you had to choose another team to follow closely, he's like Velvet Thunder here says he would choose. Did I say that wrong?
Oh, I like it.
Okay. No, that's just a strong name.
He said he would choose the Texans as the team right he would now, want to follow.
I get that. This year. That was that Reggie, you think?
It might be. It might be my
buddy.
Isn't
Reggie
Rick
working right now?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe the Dolphins, too. Like, I like Mike McDaniels for one. Like, that's. I just think he's a fun coach. But they have a fun offense to watch. It's explosive. That kind of has. That has me kind of interested in what they're doing as well. But yeah, the Texans are a good option right now because they're on the rise.
Yeah, so obviously last year, not just last year, but I chose to follow Trevor Lawrence.
Sure.
And look, I feel like I'm honest with these things. I've been wrong on him, and he's been disappointing to watch. It doesn't mean he's bad. He's average to a hair above average quarterback in this league. But he has not reached close to his potential or what everybody thought he could be out of Clemson. There's been issues there with that organization. He did get drafted by one of the worst organizations in football, and you have to overcome that. Let's see if he can and if he can get better at reading, and I'm going to follow him as much as I can. For me, it's always the Chiefs right now because of Patrick Mahomes and just how unbelievably great he is. And they're pretty easy to follow because I'd have to go look. I feel like I don't do the red zone or the NFL package.
I'm still fascinated by that.
I feel like the Chiefs, there's going to be 13 of their 17 games that will be on my television without having to pay an extra dime.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
For Jacksonville, it is tougher. They probably have five games that they're either the main game or, like, obviously Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, easy. That's on TV. There's no competition. Yeah. It's Sunday. Are you the noon game, the 3 o'clock game? And obviously the Cowboys will be part of that, where they'll always be one of those games when they're not playing the other days or nights. So, yeah, those would be the two teams. Now I ask you this question. If you felt like you were getting punished and you had to follow this team, you would be miserable and you'd be like, this would make me hate football if I had to follow this NFL team all year, on how bored I would be and miserable I would be having to follow this team.
For a long time, it would be the Jets.
Yeah.
And the Browns. Those two teams, it would just poke my eyeball out.
Velvet Thunder says the Panthers.
The only thing about that, though, and this is what I was factoring in my decision, you can watch Bryce Young and hope that something amazing happens. I realize it may not, but I think it might be, for me, might be the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah. I think the Arizona Cardinals.
What a team that is.
Now, you would get Kyler Murray and you would get Marvin Harrison Jr. Because I'm going to give you one in our division.
And lots of L's.
If I had to follow the Giants and Daniel Jones, who I know is done as a quarterback in the NFL.
Because you get Neighbors, but...
And there's no, like, what? Like, what wide receiver?
Malik Neighbors, right?
Neighbors is going to be really good.
Daniel Jones is going to, unless he dresses as a green turf, he's not going to get the ball. Like,
I like it if it was a singular. If he dresses as a green turf.
Like, wouldn't that be a great joke if somebody for the wide receiver core for Halloween dressed up as turf, and they're like, hey, since you don't seem to be able to hit our numbers or the jersey and it always hits the ground, we dressed up as ground.
Probably not great for Daniel Jones, right? He wouldn't think that was a hilarious bit, would he?
Probably not.
Okay.
I would think it's a hilarious bit. That's Mike likes it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
This guy is suing the North Carolina State Board of Education, and a new study says being polite to women is sexist. Next on The Fan.